I'm your number one fan.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
My mom and dad are me.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome back to Killer Kitties Podcast.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
It is not my birthday. Tomorrow's my birthday.
So exciting.
Yay. Anyway, happy Flag Day this Saturday to all who celebrate.
I do not, but happy Flag Day.
What even is Flag Day?
Just celebrating flags.
How are you holding up over in LA?
There's protests going on right now. I'm sure people have seen it in the news.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah. I'm located in Los Angeles. But yeah, if you don't want to celebrate Flag Day, there's something else you could do this Saturday. Yeah.
Something perhaps better.
Something I think worth more your time.
Yes. What is it? No Kings?
NoKings.org is the website. Basically, there's going to be nationwide protests. I think a few foreign countries are also participating.
Oh, fun.
So if you're not happy with the current administration, find a city near you. Mm-hmm. Go for it.
NoKings.org.
Yeah, NoKings.org. We could link it too.
Yeah, we can put it in the description.
Yeah, if you want a listing of a city near you that's hosting one, we'll give you the times and where to meet up.
And there are a lot of them, so.
There's tons. Yeah,
you'll find one
all across the country. But yeah, I'll be there. That's how I'm spending Flag Day.
All right, well.
Should we do some news that's not current events?
Yeah. We only did the most important current events.
That's true.
Okay, yeah, You start.
Yes, I start.
Yep.
I just have two quick little newses.
Mm-hmm.
Both from Blumhouse, which is apt because we're talking about Totally Killer today, which is also Blumhouse.
Oh, yeah.
First of which, Blumhouse is acquiring the prospective rights to Twisted Pictures portion of the Saw franchise. This is going to bring James Wan back into the picture for that series. Him and 1L obviously created Saw. So I think he's been an executive producer since the first couple that he oversaw.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lionsgate is going to continue to be involved as a partner. They still own 50% of the franchise. So they're just taking over Twisted Pictures section. However, this does kind of seem like promising news after Saw 11 got canceled, because basically what we were told was that the conflict was at the producing level. That's where they were having disagreements. So this could be good news for the series. Could mean that, you know, maybe that conflict could go away and there could be hope for the series.
We don't know.
We'll find out.
It sounds promising. I don't think you buy a series without intention to do stuff with it.
Yeah, for sure. It seems like they want to push it forward any way they can. So they're, you know, trying.
Yeah.
But then another news, Kinetic Games has announced that a feature film adaptation of their game Phasmophobia is officially in development.
I didn't even know this.
With Blumhouse.
Well, there could be better news, but.
You know, but this is obviously just the first announcement. We don't have much news yet. They've just said that that's who's producing and that it's being worked on. But still fun news, especially since that's the game that we became friends playing. So.
Yeah. Aw, that's so fun.
Yeah. Someone did post it. Our friend Intro posted it in our Discord, but I was hoping you didn't see it.
I didn't. That's exciting.
Yeah, very.
Oh, yay. Okay, cool. I'm excited for that one.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you could take a lot of liberties since it is, like, there's not a lot of lore to that game. It's very go hunt a ghost. Okay, you're done. So I think they could have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, and I hope they do. And I hope they don't try to make it too serious because.
Yeah, it's kind of like funny, silly in its mechanics. So
yeah,
it'd be nice if they added in a little camp.
Yeah, and the the like guy on the radio.
Oh, when you're in the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like fun. A voice that talks to you. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yay. Okay, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
In other news, speaking of buying the rights to franchises, mm-hmm. the Texas Chainsaw Massacre rights are also supposedly up for grabs. A whole 100% of them. Not just 50%.
Yeah.
According to Fangoria and a few other sources, it just celebrated its 50th anniversary, and there have been rumors of some new projects in the works, but it seems that who is going to tackle those projects is up in the air right now.
Yeah.
So reportedly, we've got anywhere from 5 to 8 different groups or individuals looking at the rights. Top 5 are, and this is not in order, we'll discuss our order after this.
Got it.
But these are the 5 biggest ones. Jordan Peele and Monkey Paw. Oz Perkins with Brian Bertino directing under Neon. Taylor Sheridan from Yellowstone under Paramount. Glenn Powell and J.T. Molnar under A24. And Netflix.
Yeah. It's quite the bidding war, it seems.
Yes.
I think we should rank them on who we personally would like to see get the IP.
Okay. Who's your last?
Oh, okay. Starting from last?
Let's go to the bottom.
Netflix.
Oh, I was going to say Paramount. Netflix does a really good job with Stranger Things. They've got that going for them.
Yeah, so that's one thing that they've done. But I will say they released a Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I think theirs is the most recent one. I don't know if they had produced it, but it came out on Netflix and it was not good. So.
Oh. Yikes.
I don't trust them. Okay, and so I think they ruined streaming. So I hate them.
Yeah, that's fair. So fair. They're not nice.
Stranger Things. They'll give us a part one and then 10 years later, give us a part two, please. Well, those children are adults now.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah. It has been a long ass time. 10 years it's been. Longer.
Too long.
Yeah. I put Paramount last. Can't think of a single horror movie that's come out of Paramount. Drama, yes. Horror, no. I mean, I'm sure there are some, but off the top of my head, I can't think of a horror movie where I'm like, wow, I was so impressed by that horror movie. I had to know the studio. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
Paramount Pictures horror movies. Let's see. Oh, Cloverfield.
Okay.
Scream 5, Friday the 13th.
The original?
A Quiet Place, the original 1980.
Okay, wait a minute.
We're kind of cooking. The Blob, Paranormal Activity, that whole series.
Oh, wow, okay.
The original Psycho. Wait, I thought that was Universal. Is that not... Is this lying to me?
Well, if it's telling the truth, I changed my mind, and Netflix is also 5 for me.
Universal did the follow-ups. Paramount did the original. It is true.
Wow. So they're a little, they start franchises and they offload them.
Well, just that one. Paranormal Activity, they did all of them.
Okay.
Cloverfield, I think they did all of them.
Found footage baddies. What?
You're going to change your tune real quick.
Is it going to make me mad?
They did Annihilation.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Okay, wait. I have to think. Let me think. I mean, they're definitely not in last place anymore. Ooh, okay.
Smile and Smile 2.
Wow, okay.
They're really moving up your list.
Yeah, I should have looked. I shouldn't have just gone with my gut. Okay, wait, I need to rearrange some stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Netflix is in last.
As it should be.
Yeah. Okay, boo Netflix. Okay. Who's your number 4? Do you need to rearrange?
No. Okay. Mine, I'm standing by.
Okay.
So my number 4 is surprising given I love the studio, but it's Glenn Powell with A24.
Interesting.
My reason being is that I don't go to A24 for a franchise like this. Yeah. I go to A24 because they invest in original ideas.
Yeah.
And so I don't see it fitting in a way that I like.
Yeah, that's so fair.
And I feel like Glenn Powell would like put himself in the movie, and I don't need to see him in a Fred or in a Texas Chainsaw movie.
Why?
I don't know. Something about him is just off to me, and I can't explain it, and I won't explain it. I'm sure he's a nice guy. He just gives me the ick. Okay. I'm sorry.
Sure.
I don't have a good reason for it. I wish I did.
Okay.
What's your fourth?
For sort of the same like vibes as you.
Mm-hmm.
Where I like the studio, but I'm not super happy with the person attached to the project, is okay. Oz Perkins and Neon.
Okay.
I haven't seen an Oz Perkins movie that I like loved. I also haven't seen a lot Fair. Of them.
I feel like you loved Long Legs when it came out. Maybe you've changed your mind.
Long Legs was fun. Yeah, Long Legs was fun.
Okay.
But, I mean...
Yeah.
Again, it's same vibes. It's like original movies. It's not franchises. So I put them at number four.
Okay.
And then at number three, I put Glenn Powell and A24.
Okay. Similar reasoning?
Yeah. Well, if Glenn Powell's in the movie, there's going to be a little bit of comedy in it. And I think I would like that.
I wouldn't mind the comedy aspect.
Yeah.
And also, like, he's just... would be attached as a producer. I'm just speculating that he would put himself in the movie. Sure. There's no confirmation of that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, at three, we just have them switched because okay. I have Oz Perkins with okay. Neon. And the only reason I put that above A24, because again, Neon is another one that I think invests in original ideas, and I don't see that studio with a big IP like this.
Yeah.
The only reason I put him higher was because it would be Brian Bertino directing. And I do think he would do a good job with Texas okay. Chainsaw.
Who, what else?
The Strangers.
Oh, yeah.
He would so like I that. Feel like that grounded slasher vibe is, like, he understands that. So sure. I could see him doing an adaptation that I enjoyed.
Okay. Who's your number two?
My number two is Taylor Sheridan with Paramount. Okay. And that was more so for the Paramount aspect than the Taylor Sheridan. No offense to him. I haven't seen a lot of what he's done. Sure. I don't watch Yellowstone, so I don't, but I've heard great things. But I think Paramount as a studio, obviously we just read off a load of what they've done, and they have worked with big IPs, and I think they understand them pretty well, so I wouldn't mm-hmm. be mad about them getting it.
Same.
Nice. Same. Look at us go. We almost had the exact same list, just one switched.
Well, after you did my yeah. research for me.
After I did your research, yeah. All right, so number one, we have Jordan Peele and Monkey Paw.
Yeah, which I think is a risk.
Fair.
He's a little, I mean, I trust him with anything. I trust him with my life.
Yeah.
But he's also not really a franchise guy. He's more of his own ideas, and his ideas are what have been good. So
he did produce the Twilight Zone reboot. So he has worked with previous IPs before.
And how did that fare?
I think like any anthology series, there were some hits and there were some misses.
Okay. Fair.
Yeah, I mainly put him at number one because I think he's a genius, and if he wants it, he should get it.
He just lost something, didn't he?
Yeah,
he lost the rights. Oh, yeah.
They lost the bidding war, and he parted ways with his management because of it.
Oh, dear.
Yep.
Oof. Well, yeah. Hopefully this deal is a little better for him and his new manager.
His new manager's shaking in his boots right yeah. now.
I thought A24 would be a little higher for me, but – and Neon, too. I mean, A24 and Neon definitely hits with newer – like the newer vibe of horror –
But yeah, I think I'm
hitting the same.
I'm just struggling to picture an A24 or a Neon Texas Chainsaw. Like yeah. what that would look like. I don't know. But genuinely, I don't think that they can go wrong. I can't see them fucking it up that bad either. So
yeah,
I think all four choices, not Netflix, would be great.
Oh my God, can you imagine Netflix would turn it into like an animated TV show and like...
Don't. Put that on me. Don't put that out in the universe, Kate. Actually, no, I have nothing against an animated horror series. That's fine. But like Netflix just doesn't. I just hate them. I just hate them. And yeah. I think I should be allowed to hate them.
You are.
Thank you.
Anyway, that's what we think about that.
Yeah.
Tell us your order of who you would like to own the franchise in the comments.
please. Yeah. All right. Should we get to it?
Let's do it.
All right. Today we are going to be talking about Blumhouse's Totally Killer. Came out in 2023. Here's a little summary. 35 years after the shocking murders of three teens, an infamous killer returns on Halloween night to claim a fourth victim. When 17-year-old Jamie comes face to face with the masked maniac, she accidentally time travels back to 1987. Forced to navigate the unfamiliar culture, Jamie teams up with her teenage mother to take down the killer once and for all. Thank you, Google. This was directed by Nanochka Khan. The screenplay is by David Madelon, Sasha Pearl Raver, and Jen D'Angelo, with the story by Madelon and Pearl Raver. It stars Kiernan Shipka and Olivia Holt, as well as an ensemble of other people you probably recognize. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to find much on the financials since it was a straight-to-streaming movie. However, it was the number one Prime movie video or video movie when it was released, so that says something. It currently has a 6.5 out of 10 on IMDb, a 76% audience, and 86% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I wasn't able to find any box office numbers for it either, and I was really confused, but now it's all coming together.
Yes, it was never released in theaters.
That makes so much sense. There was a $35 million budget.
I saw that, but the only place I could find it was IMDb. And I couldn't find a link to an outside source. Yeah, sure. Which I don't know how much of IMDb is editable by members, so I didn't include that.
Okay, yeah.
Just in case. But yes, could maybe be $35 million, possibly.
It's definite. There was a budget.
It had a budget for sure. We're just not sure what it was.
Yeah.
It or how much it made.
$35 million.
Could have been.
There's not really a good metric for how much it makes when it's straight to streaming.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how they calculate it. I'm sure it's based on how much streaming it gets versus the revenue that they get. But
yeah,
who's to say?
Who's to say? Not us.
Mm-mm. Do you know, I hinted when I told you that this was going to be the movie that I put it here for a reason. Do you know what the reason is?
No. No idea.
Okay. I put it on your birthday week because you had previously asked me for a time travel horror movie.
My God, I did say that, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. So this is it.
Hooray.
I finally did it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Wow. So I'm so glad I asked for that.
Yeah, are you? I can tell you're thrilled.
No, I didn't mind this movie at all.
Yeah.
It was a good one. Good choice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's fun.
Yeah. Didn't you tell me it wasn't a comedy?
No, I told you it was a comedy, and that's why I couldn't do one for my birthday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, yeah, it definitely is a comedy, and it's got, like, Final Girls vibes for sure.
See, I think it's more Happy Death Day, but I think that's because in my mind, like, Blumhouse had three kind of comedy horror movies that all came out in similar time frames, which was Happy Death Day, Freaky, and then this. So those three are all, like, sister films in my mind.
Sure. I haven't seen Freaky, so I can't compare.
Yeah, you will, though. One day we'll watch it. And
yeah.
The trifecta will be complete.
Yay. I'm not sure that this movie had anything really new or different to offer in terms of time travel and or slasher.
Okay.
But that didn't mean it wasn't a good time.
Yeah. I think the new thing that it did was combine those things.
Sure.
You know? Because it was definitely heavily borrowing from 80s slashers and then also Back to the Future. But...
Yeah.
I think the whole point was just marrying those two concepts.
Cute. Yeah. There were a lot of references to not just Back to the Future, tons of 80s movies, but Back to the Future specifically.
Yeah.
Several direct or indirect allusions to the movie. In Back to the Future, Marty tries to get his future parents together. While in this movie, Jamie's trying to keep her future parents apart.
Yeah. Too horny.
Yeah. They're too horny. You're being too horny. And then also, like Marty, Jamie needs the help of the younger version of the genius who built the time machine, obviously, to help her fix it and get back to the future. Back to the future. They are both trying to get back to the future.
True. Some other nods. The main character, Jamie, and then obviously her parents have the same, or they have the same last name. Isn't that crazy weird that they all have the same
name? Yeah, so crazy.
Yeah, that's just like a fun fact about this movie and only this movie.
Yeah, the family.
The family, the mother, the husband, and the daughter, same last name.
Crazy.
It's crazy. It's weird. Anyways, that's not the fun fact. The fun fact is that their last name is Hughes, which is a nod to John Hughes, who directed The Breakfast Club, which stars Molly Ringwald, which is a recurring theme throughout, that her mom in the 80s is obsessed with her. And then on that note, too, her mom and her friends call themselves the Mollies, and they all kind of like dress like Molly Ringwald. Mm-hmm. That's kind of a nod not only to Molly Ringwald in the 80s, but also to the film Heathers, which came out in the 80s. And then Vernon High School is the name of the school, and that is a nod again to The Breakfast Club because the principal is Richard Vernon.
So fun.
I went to Vernon. That was the name of my middle school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I know.
You went to the middle school of the high school of this movie.
I went to the middle school of the high school, yeah. You did.
The jacket also, the fringe jacket was supposedly inspired by, I mean, it was similar to the one worn by Sloane in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yep.
But also could have been an homage to the jacket in Can't Buy Me Love with Patrick Dempsey. Dr. Yeah. McDreamy.
McDreamy.
You don't even know what that's from.
Yes, I do. Everybody knows that from Grey's Anatomy. I don't have to watch the show to know that.
You do.
I know all about McDreamy and McSteamy and and Christina.
I love Christina.
Yeah, everybody she does.
Really went downhill after she left.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah. Eh, well.
Tell us your favorite Grey's Anatomy character.
In the comments.
Exactly.
I knew I recognized Olivia Holt from somewhere. I could not place it at all. But it was from Cruel Summer. You remember that show?
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, God. It was, like, huge when it came out. And I think it was, like, COVID time. So, like, everybody watched it.
Yes. I think I have it on my watch list because everybody was talking about it.
I remember liking it. I don't remember much about it.
Yeah.
Other than, like, the general synopsis. But I definitely remembered liking it. The first season that she is in, not necessarily the second season, because it's an anthology.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know she's been in some stuff. She was on Disney for a while, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I've ever seen anything she's been in, if I'm being honest, besides this. Huh. But she was good. I liked her in this.
Yeah, she's great.
I think the – oh, my God, no, she was in Hard Eyes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
Dang, I did see that in theaters, too. But, yeah, I think the concept of going back in time and your mom is just, like, the biggest dick you've ever met is really funny.
Yes, I agree.
That's great. To go through the trauma of having your mom die and then seeing her again and the first thing she says to you is, "You're out, bitch." It's so – that's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of saw it coming.
Oh, yeah.
It's teed up pretty good.
You could definitely see it coming, but it worked nicely. That was a good touch.
Yeah. And I'm glad she wasn't involved in the whole drunk driving thing that – kept her a little more human than her Molly Ringwald counterparts.
The other Mollies.
Yeah, the other Mollies.
Yeah, that not only worked for the twist that it's a different killer, but also
yes,
kept that sympathy for her that, okay, she could become the nice mom that we see in the future.
Yeah.
Whereas her friends were a little bit less redeemable.
I did kind of like, I was really just ragging on it for not having like anything like super original other than like the combination of time travel and horror. But I did like, I don't know if any other time travel movie has this, that it was like a different timeline where her parents end up getting together sooner and now she has a brother named Jamie.
Yeah.
And her name is Colette. That was funny.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yes. And along with that, I think it was actually the director Khan's idea to do the two timelines at the same time. So we saw clips from the future, which I also really like. Because I feel like in most time travel movies, you're just with the people who time traveled.
Yeah.
But in this one, it kind of cuts back to her friend trying to find her and then mm-hmm. seeing these changes happen in real time. And I really liked that. I thought that was a good touch that I hadn't seen before I watched this.
Mm-hmm. Time's like a river.
It is?
Yeah. Speaking of Jamie, though, didn't we just have another movie where the lead is named after Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah. Horror people just can't get over her for some reason.
I guess not. I mean, she is like the final girl, but.
Yeah, but how many, you know, Ripley's? Well, I guess Ripley's so.
And Sigourney. Like, that would be too obvious.
No, it's she's the only one.
I think.
But no, yeah, Ripley's not as. But Ellen, you could do Ellen.
Yeah.
Horror likes to reference itself a lot. I think that's an ongoing theme.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I kind of like. It's like its own little family where it's always paying homage to the things that made it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I can respect that.
Sure. Yeah, I wasn't complaining. I was just saying there's just, we had like two in a row.
Yeah. Was it the last episode?
No, I think it was Clown in a Cornfield, right?
No.
It's somebody and a sister.
It follows because her sister's name Kelly.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
And then the opening scene was Annie from Halloween 2. It was literally two episodes in a row.
Yeah, there we go. Whoops. Wow, both of our birthday episodes had a callback to Halloween.
Wow.
It's
we're connected.
Wow. Not as much as I'd like, but.
Oh.
There were a lot of really distracting digital effects in this one. I don't know if you noticed them also.
Mm.
But I feel like they leaned a little bit too heavily into the digital enhancements of their practical effects. Because what I was originally going to talk about was how annoying all the VFX were and how they should have leaned more heavily on practical. But then I watched a couple interviews of the director and they really did do a good job with practical. They put a lot of stock into making things practical, but they enhanced them almost like too much with VFX, where it was like really obvious. So any knife blade, digital, mm-hmm. none of the knives were practical. They were all, I mean, not that you could have like a real knife and stab somebody, but you know what I mean?
I can't believe that Natasha Khan didn't stab people in this movie. How dare she?
I mean, you know, even if they're just like swinging them around, that wasn't practical. Like you don't have to like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There was not a lot of like blood capsules happening. There were some blood capsules used, but a lot of that was digital. Anytime anybody's holding a photo, digital. Why? Why would you do that? Why not just have an actual photo? Isn't that strange?
That is strange. I genuinely did not notice at all.
Okay.
So maybe I just wasn't like paying attention enough, or I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. But like, so they did a lot of stuff practically too. And Nanachka Khan like bragged about it,
mm-hmm.
and then sort of like buried it under the VFX. I don't know. The waterbed scene,
mm-hmm.
that was mostly practical. They only had one chance to do it. They had five cameras rolling at once. The crew built the waterbed in this like random couple's house. So the set was practical too. and all of the like water spewing everywhere, practical, blood capsules. That scene was fun. That scene was good and fun, and it wasn't like really overdone. The rest, I don't know. Like this, I don't know. Go back and watch it again. See if you see what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'll have to because I didn't notice. I will say I was like going through my facts as I watched it because I typically watch the movies more of like as a refresher than to really nitpick them.
Sure.
Just because 90% of the movies we watch I've already seen. But yeah. I like that they use practical. That's fun to know now. I'm sorry it didn't look that way to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Gravitron was also practical. They like got one. They found it in Canada, brought it to where they were filming. From wherever they were shooting, they took the panels out of the Gravitron and shot inside of it. So the cameras are outside of the Gravitron at all times. And they had a light rig around the outside that spun around. That was how they got that effect. And then everybody was on wires.
Yeah.
The machine itself, the ride itself was never spinning. Yeah. But they used wires and blowers. They had blowers on people's faces.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen some behind the scenes clips of that, but.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I know just because we're on stunts and filming practices and stuff, but the first death, I guess, is Pam, the mom, and it was Khan's first time directing a full-blown fight sequence like that. Mm-hmm. She said it was really fun to do and that Julie Bowen did almost all of the stunts for that scene.
Wow.
Yeah, she said she was such a good sport, but there were two scenes that she was too hesitant to do. So there's two times that there's a stunt double, and that's when she's thrown through the coffee table and then when she's thrown onto the marble countertop. That was a stunt double, but everything else is Julie Bowen.
Wow.
Yeah. I liked that scene because it was very, I think there's a couple times that this movie kind of subverts your expectations, right? Like usually in a slasher, the killer is hunting down the final girl. In this one, she's hunting him down. And then I think in this scene is a good example of, you know, the first kill, he comes in and you think, you know, instinct, she's going to run. But no, she just pops open her secret compartment. She's like, I've been waiting 35 years for this. Let's go.
Yeah.
So I liked that scene. But then, minor complaint, it does kind of, I get it, it's a movie. So it's like, you know, she has to die for the plot. But it does kind of detract it when it's like, okay, she's been training 35 years and then some fucking podcaster guy takes her down. I don't think so, babe.
Yeah. Like,
I don't buy that once the reveal happens, but it's also so much later in the movie that you kind of forget about it.
Sure.
So whatever. It's a movie.
Yeah. In hindsight, not ideal, but.
Yeah. As soon as a killer puts on a mask in a movie, you have to just accept that they're going to have like a little bit more power than they should.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. One more practical effects that or scene that Nanatra Khan was really proud of was the dodgeball scene. Most of that is practical. They did add a couple more dodgeballs in post, but every time a ball makes contact with someone is practical.
I love that scene. The way they film it, like it's a war scene. It's all in slow motion. She's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Oh, funny.
Yeah, great. Entry into the 80s, I guess.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We all look like Hooters waitresses.
The shorts were short.
Yeah. For sure. But no, I think had they just kept the practical, it would have been just as good and maybe even more like charming, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. And that could have been like an editing thing too, where maybe they were rushed.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, go back and look and tell me if you
I will. Think. I'll Thank examine you. It.
Thank you.
Thoroughly.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Kind of touching back on the 80s references that are throughout this movie. Khan had said that she wanted the younger cast to be familiar with those references, right? To kind of understand what they were and why they were in the movie. So she said she would bring up a movie and be like, okay, everybody needs to go watch this movie. Mm-hmm. And every time she brought one up, they'd say, we've already seen that. So she was having such a hard time with it. And then she realized that then they'd be like, oh, have you seen this one though? And she'd be like, no. So she said she ended up watching more movies than they did because they were basically giving her references the whole time. And they'd seen all the ones she was trying to get them to watch.
Oh my gosh, that's too funny.
Yeah.
I had to do a lot of Googling while watching this just to be like, had that happened by then? Like, what was this? Surely we had DNA testing in the 80s.
Well, we did, but.
But not then, yes.
Yeah.
And also not here. That started in England in 1986.
It did. So technically, for a year they'd had it, but it was still new that I'm sure a small town like. Is it Vernon or is that just like the school's name?
I think it's like
it is
West Vernon or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Small town Vernon. I could see that they maybe don't have that yet.
Yeah.
So
also, why that checks out. Why were the police officers dressed like Mounties?
They weren't. They were dressed like sheriffs.
No, they were absolutely dressed like Canadian Mounties.
Have you ever seen a Canadian Mountie? Because they
Yeah, my husband's not... dad was one for like 20 years.
They were wearing like black pants and khaki shirts.
No. They had the dumb hats on.
Well, they had hats on, but they weren't like Mountie hats.
Yes, they were.
They did not look like Mounties, Katie.
Yes, they did. I mean, I guess they weren't wearing red.
Yeah, they just were wearing hats.
Those hats, though. That hat.
Yeah, but that could be like 80s small town sheriff hat.
80s small town sheriff outfit.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
I guess we have outgrown those hats as a society. Oh, yeah, look at that. Well, anyway. Oh, God. Oh, geez. I found myself on a... Nothing.
Were you on, like, a Mountie porn website?
Close.
What just happened?
It put me on a... I was looking at pictures of 80s police, 80s small town sheriff outfits, and it put me on a website where you can buy outfits for, you know.
The sex?
Yeah.
See, this is why I do your research for you.
Yes. Keep me pure. You're already too far gone.
That's true.
Nah, I'm joking. I'm joking.
I'm joking.
I'm just joking.
So, the National Academy of Sciences, mm-hmm. they sponsor a retreat called the Science and Entertainment Exchange, where they get 12 scientists and 12 screenwriters together for a whole weekend, and the scientists give, like, mini TED Talks. And it's supposed to make sure that, like, movies that represent science do it correctly. Wow. So you can kind of, like, educate these screenwriters on the science, and it's a fun little weekend retreat, right?
Yeah, that sounds fun. I'd go to that.
Yeah. It sounds amazing. Jen D'Angelo, who helped write the story, has gone twice. So she said that came in handy when she was writing the science-y aspects of this. But they still decided to kind of keep it pretty
high level.
Broad. Yeah. Not super detailed, because obviously, like, it's a horror comedy. They're not trying to be sci-fi with it. But
sure.
But still, she said that was fun to pull from that experience for this.
Yeah. That's kind of a shame, though. I mean, we just read Jurassic Park together, and what I loved most about it was the science, like how fucking cool all the science-y stuff was. But I guess there's a time and place. That wasn't a comedy.
Yeah.
We talked about The Mask.
We did.
Lots of inspiration behind The Mask. The director said that The Mask obviously had to still originate in the 80s, so you have that nostalgic vibe with it. But it also had to be still relevant to killers in present day, which I feel like we've heard that before. There's a lot of, like, thought that goes behind what mask you put in your movie.
Yeah, for sure.
But this one, they landed on the idea of just, like, a handsome man being terrifying, and they mixed Kiefer Sutherland, Rob Lowe, Dolph Lundgren, and even Johnny Bravo, and then exaggerated the teeth. I do see the Johnny Bravo. And then exaggerated the teeth. And then the idea was that the last thing you see is this beautiful smile as you're being killed.
Yeah. I read three different articles where Ninotchka Khan talked about that. Just reiterating how scary a good-looking man is.
Yeah.
And then I read her article with GLAAD, and she is an out and proud lesbian, and it all came together.
Yes. Makes sense.
No, but yeah, happy pride. We support lesbian directors.
Yeah, and not just the lesbians either, to be clear.
To be clear, yeah. All the of the community.
The gamut of the community.
As a whole. Yeah, I thought that was funny. She, in that GLAAD interview, went on like a whole rant about how Scream was kind of an inspiration tone-wise, just because they lean into that camp and comedy aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, the whole little section where she's talking about how gay Billy and Stu are.
Honestly?
I thought that was really funny. She seems very fun. Yeah. Nachka Khan, if you're listening, I want to hang out.
Yeah. 150th episode's coming up.
That's true.
A few eggs from the film. These little eggs.
Easter eggs?
Its own eggs. Its own eggs within the film had eggs like of itself. It like set stuff up, you know? Not Easter
so
eggs.
Foreshadowing?
Yes.
Great.
Yeah.
We got there.
Yeah. At the beginning, when the podcast tour is happening and Chris Dubasage is like, let's give it up for Angie, who wishes there were more people that were killed. Yeah. Angie said there should have been at least 6 people for it to be considered serial killing.
Mm-hmm.
And then sure enough, 6 people die.
Yep. By the end of the movie, the body count is 6.
I love that. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's fun.
Cute. And then when Jamie comes back to the present with a bloodied face, her mom's like, what happened? And she said she got in a bike accident, which is the same excuse that the mom, when she was young, wanted to give the grandma when she got hurt at the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say I got in a bike accident.
And then one more.
Oh, yeah.
That I saw. In the present day, when Mr. Hughes and Sheriff Kara Lim are trying to search for Jamie after she, like, goes missing, but she's in the past. Mm-hmm. Amelia says, she used my time machine, and Sheriff Lim cuts her off and says that she's going to solve the case herself. And then in 1987, when she's a kid, she's the one that ends up actually stabbing the Sweet 16 killer and putting an end to it. So, kind of solving the case.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Question that I just remembered right now. Great. Probably answered in the film.
Okay.
Wouldn't the people in the new timeline remember her?
Jamie?
From 1987?
Yeah. You would think.
Why don't the parents? Oh, so they don't.
I mean,
the parents,
they
don't
probably remember their friend Jamie, but also I think by the end some of them remembered. Yeah, you're right. You'd think that the mom would be like, girl.
Yeah. And it did seem like the best friend and her mom
knew.
Sort of like recognized that
the mom did.
Because she like
gives.
Mom?
Yeah, because she gives her the journal about everything that's
changed.
Yeah,
of course.
So she definitely knows.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was kind of left a little unclear about how much of that you would know. Because even if you didn't figure out that she was time traveling when she went into the machine and never came back out after she predicted everything that was going to happen, you would think the mom would be like, whoa, my daughter looks exactly like my friend Jamie.
Well, but also, though, doesn't she die? Doesn't the mom die in the past?
No. She pushes her out before he can stab her.
That's right.
Yeah. That would be a huge plot hole.
Yeah. I mean, it still is a plot hole that they don't remember her.
Yeah. I mean, it's been 35 years, you know. Would you remember someone? Or would you just think about all your friends that died? I think I would remember her.
Yeah, I would remember her. The one that
the
saved me on the
gravitron. The person predicting their deaths.
Yeah, that too.
You know, it's a movie.
Yeah. Whatever. We'll let it slide.
Yeah, this time. You're on thin ice, though.
Yeah. Blumhouse, as if you weren't already.
Blumhouse has been through the ice for 2 years.
Yeah. Honestly, that plot hole should be the straw that breaks a camel's back. What?
The straw that breaks a camel's back.
You said bakes.
Bakes? One of us will get it someday. For sure. We're going to figure this out together.
Yeah. But first, any other fun facts about this movie?
Just one.
Okay.
Apparently from about day 2 of shooting, the cinematographer, Judd Overton, kept saying that at the end of the movie, there is still a working time machine in 1987. Just kept pointing that out. Like, hey, does anybody realize this? So Khan said that she's always thought about the idea that there could be a sequel where someone from the 80s comes to the present day if they find that time machine and they can get it to work.
Fun.
So clearly people who worked on the movie have thought through how a sequel could work. So not ruling it out. Maybe there will be one.
Fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, cute.
Yeah.
There's you some fun facts. Fun facts about Totally Killer. It was not a shark movie.
It wasn't. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. We've got next week for that.
We do. Shall we rate it?
Let's do it.
Okay.
How scary did you think it was?
A 0.5. It's not really supposed to be, though, right? It's a fun time.
Yeah.
What did you give it?
I also gave it a 0.5. It was negative scary. It was too rompy. We were having a silly, happy, fun time.
Definitely a romp.
Just goofing.
Mm-hmm. How sexy did you think it was?
Horny doesn't necessarily equate sexy, I don't think. It was definitely a horny movie.
Yeah.
But I still gave it a 2. I mean, for the slasher vibes, for the blood, for the, you know, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It had some stuff.
Yeah.
How about you?
I gave it a 1.
Oh, okay.
I gave it half a point for that, like the 80s slasher vibe.
Okay.
But I think what was like throwing me off a little bit was that the cast is just a little bit too young for me. Like they all kind of, they weren't kids. They were all like in their 20s, I think, when they filmed this. But
sure.
they look like teenagers. Yeah, just kind of.
It is high school, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They're all cute kids.
Yeah,
but
I feel weird.
Sexy? No, you're fine. You didn't even say that. They're all of age, too. You're allowed to think that they're cute. I see someone who's 27, and I gag a little, because I'm like, I could never.
Seriously. Yeah.
Even though, like, that's a fine dating range for my age. But
you were born in May of 1993? You can get fucked. Oh, wait, that's a month older. You were born in July of 1993?
Yeah, no.
My husband listening to this being born in May of 1993. Oops.
Just
July.
The divorce papers under the office door.
You're too young for me. Oh, shoot. How fucked up did you think it was?
I gave it a 0.5.
Yeah.
And nothing too crazy happened. I guess it is a little bit fucked up to get bullied by your mom, but no. Yeah. It was more funny than it was fucked up because of the tone.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you?
I also gave it a 0.5. It didn't give us anything.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like a fun kill. I'm surprised it was rated R.
Well, they say fuck a lot.
That's true. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I forget that that's a problem for people in 2025.
I think there were fun kills. They just weren't like super gory or anything or like fucked up.
Yeah.
Him exploding was fun.
Yeah.
You knew it was coming, but it was still fun to watch.
Yeah. A little puff of pink smoke.
Yeah. All right. Overall, what did you think of the time traveling movie? Totally Killer.
Oh, thanks again for picking it.
You're welcome.
I mean, I did say I didn't think that this movie was particularly like original necessarily. There are scarier comedies and there are funnier comedies. There are also funnier horrors. So anyway, this movie was pretty mid in that regard, but it was fun to watch. It was still definitely entertaining and fun. I would have given it a 3.5, but I had to bump it down to 3 because of the weird, like, amateurish YouTube-y vibes it gave me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I gave it a 3.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. This isn't the best movie ever, but it was the only one I could think of that's time travel, so... So I was like, what Katie wants, Katie gets.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah. I will say, I think out of the 3 that I listed, this is probably the weakest of the 3 in terms of like the Blumhouse horror comedies.
Sure.
But I did give it a 3 as well. I think it's a fun time. Like there's a couple moments that I think are funny and it's overall... Like, I could watch this with my friends any weekend and we'd have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
I do think some of the bits where it's, like, I don't want to say woke because, like, I don't think woke's a bad thing, but the, like, her constantly correcting the older generation and stuff, I feel like there was a better way they could have done that instead of her just blatantly saying it every time. Yes. I think it would have been much funnier if it panned to the racist mascot and then it just... panned back to her face being like, what the fuck? Instead of her out loud saying, the racist mascot, of course, you know.
Yeah.
It just got a bit too like, all right, we get it. It was very like, he's right behind me, isn't he?
No, you're so right. I thought that too.
Yeah, so it wasn't necessarily that I didn't like that those things were in the movie, because I think, yeah, if someone our age, not our age, but, you know, if a high schooler now went back in the 80s, they'd be like, holy shit, you can't do this now.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, there's a way that they could have done that that would have been funnier.
Yeah, like the scene where the mom is hotboxing the car with her cigarettes with the kids in the back seat. there was no commentary needed there. We knew that was not appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah, it just could have been a little bit more subtle.
Yeah,
but for sure. But other than that, it's a fun movie. It's not that serious.
Yeah.
I think watch it with your friends and have a good time.
For sure.
Blumhouse has done worse.
Yeah.
They've also done better, though.
Well.
They have.
Let's not give them too much credit.
You have to remember that Get Out is Blumhouse.
That's fucking crazy.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's why this little piece of me still knows that they can do it if they just try.
Is that pre-Monkey Paw? Or is it also Monkey Paw?
I think it was pre, because that was the first movie he did.
Oh, okay. Well, good for him for getting out.
I'm rooting for you, Blumhouse. Jason, look me in the eyes. I'm rooting for you.
And his name was on this movie even.
Yeah.
More recent stuff, his name isn't on it.
I think it depends on if he is an executive producer or a producer, or it's just Blumhouse.
Yeah, I guess that's
true. Like, that is what will determine it.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I believe in Blumhouse. I think that they can pull back. And we focus a lot on the bad ones, but they did Get Out. They did the Invisible Man remake.
Oh,
they did
like
Happy
that.
Death Day. They did the Black Phone.
I don't like the Black Phone because that one scene.
That's true. I liked the Black Phone. But anyways, they're not all clunkers. It's just hard to defend them when they also put out Night Swim. Stop, Blumhouse.
Yeah,
stop.
What was that?
Why did
you do that?
I'm never going to stop talking about how much I hate that movie.
That movie sucked. It had potential, kind of.
No, it should have stayed a 3-minute short. That's all that idea is good for.
And why make it sports?
Yeah, that we'll never know.
Anyway, we have a whole episode on that.
We do. Also, can I just say, we've brought that up multiple times in, like, sports horror movies, and why aren't there any good sports horror movies? Because I can never think of any. And part of that, I do think, is because as soon as sports are involved, I just don't really care that much. Sure. However, I think we actually recently watched my favorite sports horror movie, which is Suspiria, because dance can absolutely be a sport.
Honestly, that's so fair.
We were just ignoring it. We were going for more classic male... sport. We were, and for that we apologize.
Yeah, women's sports are important, more so than men's sports, I would say.
I would say if we had to get rid of one, it would be men's sports. For sure. Congratulations to Coco Gauff too. I don't know if anybody keeps up with tennis
on TikTok. Yeah,
on the TikTok I started getting fed her win videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very happy for her. She seems like a very talented human being.
Yeah.
So,
her little dead cockroach pose that she did was very
cute.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, as someone who, like, doesn't really care about sports, it is kind of nice seeing someone just, like, completely filled with euphoria when they get that win. Because you know that that meant so much to her. She literally just collapsed.
Yeah.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, good for her indeed.
Anyways, enough about sports.
Ugh. Yeah, pop culture. Ugh. Current events.
Gross.
Would we survive? Oh, we were supposed to say at the same time. You were supposed to keep saying.
Oh, okay. Ready?
Yep.
Would we survive? That's rude. That's so fucked up, actually.
Yeah.
Would you survive?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. No reason other than my heart tells me so.
Okay.
I'm never in my life getting on a Gravitron. A lot of bad things happened in there.
Well, how would you get back?
I'm not done. I didn't think about that.
It does. It sounds like you're done, though, because you stopped talking.
No, I just didn't think about that, and now I am. I'm also not convincing my friend to go drunk driving, so I'm not getting killed for that.
Great.
I'm not handing out candy on Halloween. I'm going to get my own candy.
I think he was breaking in regardless, but.
Okay. If I'm anyone in this movie, it's the podcaster. And
the murderer.
Yeah, just he's just trying to make an honest dollar. But I would do it without murdering people. And then so I would just let me finish.
No.
I thought most of it out. My heart tells me I don't die. I should have just left it at that.
Yeah.
How about you?
I think so. Yeah, I'm not getting targeted. Because, again, I'm not getting someone extremely drunk and then watching them drive away.
Yeah.
I'm also not going to be friends with people who do that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I'm the mom or the Mollies. I don't know if I'm the podcaster. Well, I literally am a podcaster, yeah. But I wouldn't do true crime. So there, I would never feel the need to murder someone for my podcast. So yeah, I guess if I put myself in the shoes, it would have to be like, if I'm putting myself in the situation, then I'm Jamie going back. But again, she's not the target. She's trying to help everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I have a pretty good chance of beating the shit out of a man who does a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly.
So, yeah, I'll give it to myself.
Okay. There you go.
Thank you.
We're living.
We're doing it.
L-I-V-I-N.
Exactly.
Hooray. Well, next week is a really big week for horror fans. Do you know why?
Tell them why.
Oh, yes, I will. I can. Yep.
Thank you.
It is the 50th anniversary of Jaws.
It is.
And to celebrate, we're watching them all. Rating them, ranking them, dissecting them.
Yeah. We're talking about the Jaws franchise, all 7 movies. And no, I'm kidding. Can you imagine?
You're 7?
I'm kidding. There's not 7.
I'm canceling all my plans. There's 4, right?
There's 4, yeah. There's Jesus. Jaws 2, Jaws 3D, and Jaws the Revenge. So I'm not going to have you predict the plot because I think you know. But I'm excited. I haven't seen Jaws for a while. Last time I saw it was in Sinespia. That's the, what is it, Hollywood Forever Cemetery in Los Angeles. Yeah, they host movie screenings.
So fun.
And Jaws played. And I went with my friends and I got really, really high.
That's the dream, you know?
Just it was.
High in a cemetery watching a horror movie.
It was a great night. That had a blast. So fun. Yeah.
We in Arizona have a horror movie series where you are in boats on the lake.
See, that's what I want to do with Jaws. That's how you have to do it.
Yeah. They do Jaws.
That would be more fun.
Yeah.
But Sinespia is great. If you're in the LA area, highly recommend. It's a good time.
Yeah.
You like bring your own food and drinks too. It's like a little picnic.
Oh, a charcuterie.
That's what we did. We brought charcuterie. We bought wine.
Yeah.
And weed.
Yeah.
And we had a great old time.
Yeah. Oh, have you heard all the old ladies on TikTok talking about moon water?
No.
It's THC-infused water.
Oh. Hmm.
It looks like a White Claw.
Oh, okay.
But it's THC.
Nice. I've had THC, like, sodas before.
You don't even like soda.
I don't. It was in my weed era. And I was in Vegas.
Oh.
Yeah, I got so high that night I couldn't feel my legs when we were in the Venetian. I don't recommend that. By the way,
that doesn't sound fun. The hotels in Vegas are far too cold. I can't imagine my legs being cold and not being able to feel them. Also, anyways, Las Vegas.
Yeah, if you're gonna get super super high, first of all, be careful. Also, don't do it in Vegas because that was a nightmare.
Yeah, but also just don't go to Vegas right now.
Don't go to Vegas.
They're being dumb. They're bragging about how they're not a sanctuary city right now, which is fucking crazy. They're like, I don't want anybody to be confused. We are not a sanctuary city. Like, okay, idiots.
It's not. We're laughing so that we don't cry because that's an insane thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially in this climate. So, yeah, fuck Vegas.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm excited to talk about Jaws, though. Yeah, it's been a while. Shark, and I can shark, finally shark. Go on my shark rant and everything will be good in the world.
Yeah. I fought tooth and nail to watch this now instead of in July for Shark Week. August? I forget when Shark Week is.
You asked to switch it and I said, yeah.
Do you know how hard it is for me to initiate conversations? To ask for a favor that huge? Honestly, it was really hard for me.
You probably could have switched it on the calendar and I wouldn't have even noticed. Yes, you I would have been like, did I do that? Probably. Because I would never expect you to do that. So I would probably think that I did it for some reason.
All right, good news. I'm just going to open this bad boy up.
Well, now I know.
Witching stuff around. No, I would never.
Thank you. Preach that. All right, well, happy birthday tomorrow, Katie.
Wow, thank you.
Love that our birthdays are so close.
Yeah.
Just like us.
as close as we are.
Yeah, close mentally and emotionally. Hopefully someday physically. Not in location. Calm down.
I wasn't saying no. I just, yeah.
And on that note, happy Pride, everybody. Yeah. I hope you have a great month. And we'll see you next week for Jaws.
Yay, Jaws. Woo. Bye. All right. I guess. Bye.
Bye.